All right, so we're going to start here at the bottom of Lama Tetamud Bet. The Gemara is discussing the positions, the machlokas between Shmuel and Rav. Rav's position is that the kfira, the denial, has to be at least shtei kesef. That means that the ta'ana has to be shtei kesef plus a pruta. On the other hand, Shmuel says that the ta'ana can be itself, the claim itself can be for shtei kesef, and the hoda'a and the kfira only have to be a pruta. So the Gemara now is dealing, or back and forth, about whether the Mishnah reads more like Rav or more like Shmuel. So the Gemara began with saying that the Mishnah sounds much more like Rav. That's what Rav suggested. And the Psukim sound like Shmuel. So then we answered up the Psukim for Rav, how he fits in the Psukim. And then we now attempted to answer the Mishnah according to Shmuel. How does Shmuel explain the Mishnah? So Shmuel's answer in the end, or Shmuel's way of dealing with the Mishnah, is to say that the Mishnah is dafka. That the Mishnah, when it says, for instance, in the earlier cases, when it says shtei kesef, it doesn't mean that he's asking for the value of two denarii kesef, but literally he's asking for two silver coins. And therefore, when he admits to a pruta which is nechoshet, which is copper, it's not mimin hata'ana, that the admission has nothing to do with the claim that is associated with it. So the Gemara proved that from later on in the Mishnah by litra zahav. By litra zahav, it's clear that he means literally, that means a block of gold and a block of silver and not value. So now the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, that we take the Mishnah literally, then it's a problem for Rav. And that's how the end of the Amud is. It's Vavi Tuf to the Rav. Right? That if you want to read the Mishnah as Davko, then it's a problem for Rav. Because then why in the Reisha is there a problem? We're saying it's because of Davko. According to Rav, the problem in the Reisha is because he doesn't have a Kfira of Shtei Kesef. So in the answer, the Gemara says, Amach Rav, Kula Matnitan Shaveh. No, the Mishnah is discussing about value. In the Mishnah, all the cases are he makes a claim for value, and the response is a response of value, and therefore it will always be Mimin Hata'ana. Teda, the Kaktani Sefer. Because I have the example in the Sefer, which sounds Dinar Zahav Libi Adecha. I have a gold coin, right, that you owe me. En lecha biyadi ela Dinar Kesef, Utrisit, Upundion, Upruta. He says, no, that you only have this coin or this coin and this coin. Chayav. So there is chayav she'akol min bat beya, because all of these are one type. They're all currency. They're all coinage. So therefore, she'akol min bat beya achatein. When we deal with currency or coinage, that's like saying a shekel and a half shekel. That's like saying 20 shekel and 1 shekel. Even though they're different bills or different coins, that doesn't make them different. That's the value. They represent a certain amount of value. And that's exactly what's going on in the Sefer. That's why when he makes a claim for one coin and the response is with another coin, that's called Mimin HaTa'ana, for exactly that reason. So, Iyamar Bishlam HaShaveh, if you're talking about value, Mishum HaChi Chayav, that's why you're Chayav here, because it's Mimin HaTa'ana. Eli Iyamar Davko, you say that we're taking it literally, that he's making a claim for a gold coin and you're responding with copper or silver coins, am I Chayav? Then why are you Chayav? Then you don't have Oda'a Mimin HaTa'ana. So, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar comes to basically defend the position of Shmuel to say that Rav's wrong. Bishatano dinar matbeot. No, the answer here is that he's to'ain over here dinar matbeot vikamash malan. And it comes to teach us that a pruta bichla matbea ito. That a pruta, a copper coin, that smallest of coins of currency, is classified as a matbea. Now there's a machloka as Tosfot and Rashi what this means. Bishatano dinar matbeot. What does it mean, dinar matbeot? So Rashi claims. When it says here that the din of here is dinar matbeot, that means that it's mutba, that it's currency that's been minted or coined. So he's asking for a dinar matbeot, something that was coined or minted. And so therefore the response of other coins is something else that was minted or coined. And that's mimin hata'ana. And the chiddush here is that pruta, even though pruta is the smallest denomination, and that's still considered coinage or currency. That's considered is still considered to be a minted coin. And therefore, all of these are mimin hata'ana because it's dinar matbeot. That's what he's suggesting. That's what the comparison between them is that tvua bimatbea tzura. That's what Rashi says, that they were coined or minted with a form. And he was not asking for the weight of the coin. And he's not asking for the value of the coin. He's talking about coins in general. He's asking for something that was minted or coined. That's the way Rashi learns it. Tosafot says, I don't understand. He says, what's the chiddush then? Why would you even have a havamina to say that a pruta that's made out of copper is not coined? I mean, how do you make a copper coin? How do you make a pruta? A pruta is made or is coined by the fact that it's made, you know, it's minted coin that's made through a form. So what was the Gemara's Havamina that the Pruta should be excluded, that that's the Chiddush in the Mishnah? That doesn't sound like much of a Chiddush. That seems like seems pretty obvious that if one has a Pruta that's a minted coin, that that should be included over here. So he doesn't see the Chiddush. And therefore, at the end of Tosfos, he suggests a different parish. Okay, Nira Lefresh, Bitoano Dinar Matbeot, Shenatano Dinar Lechlif. He gave him a large coin in order to get change back. He wanted to change the silver coin for smaller coins. And he wants smaller coinage in return for that. Can you be mefaret? Can you, right, give me change? And he's asking for those coins. He says, I already give them to you. So that, what does it mean? Dinar matbeot means not that he asked him for a silver coin. He asked him for change of a dinar kesef. He says, give me back the change that you owe me. Change is all those smaller coins. And that's what he responds to him. I don't owe you this coin, whatever the coinage is. That smaller denomination is what he's denying over here. Says, I returned all the smaller coins except for this one coin or this one piece that I didn't give you back in the change. So that's what Tosus learns over here. So either way, whether you learn like Rashi or you learn like Tosafot, what they're doing over here is they're changing this last case from a case of currency, which would support Rav, into a case where there's asking for a particular item, and the response is somehow a mimina ta'ana. And it's either because it's a minted or coined item, and that's why it's mimina ta'ana, or according to Tosafot, he asked for change. And he asked for change of a dinar, and he said, I gave you part of the change, I didn't give you the other change. So he was asking for these smaller coins. He wasn't asking for a silver coin, he was asking for the smaller coins back. And that's why it's mimina ta'ana. Well, once you've defined it that way, that explains, or that the Mishnah sounds like Shmuel. So Tamar Belazer, Shano Dinar Matbeot, Kam Mashmalan, the Pruta Michlal Batbeya. The Pruta is called a Matbeya. For Rashi, it means it's also a minted coin. For Tosafot, it means that a Pruta, somebody, when they get changed, they would even take Prutot. That's like asking for pennies or a Agura. You know, people wouldn't want, you know, they'll take a 5 Agura, they'll take 20 Agurot, but they won't take one single Agura coin. It's not useful to them. Right, so same thing with Pruta. So you would thought maybe Pruta is not considered part of the change that one would receive. Over here, no, it's Bechlal Matbeah, it's considered, it's classified as part of being the change. Ita. Dekonami, I can make a diuk out of the Mishnah, this is the case. Iktani, Shako min Batbeah Achat. What's the response to the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, what's the reason over here that he is Chayav? What's the reason that he's Chayav? It's Ko min Batbeah Achat. So either according to Rashi, that means that they're all coined items. Or according to Tosavot, that means that these are all change of a dinar kesef, all min matbeachat, they're all coinage that you would give in response to a, or in change of a dinar kesef. So what does Rav do? Rav does, why does Rav have that statement at the end of the Mishnah? Rav, there's a simple answer why you're chayav in this case, because it's, you're asking for shovi, you're asking for value, currency. You're saying, please give me a dinar kesef, which is a certain amount of value, and then he responds with other coins, which are a lower value. Fine, so that's motive in mixa because of the shivayon, because of the value that we're talking about, not because it's min matbeachat. So Rav says, shakol din matbeachat. What does that mean? Shakol din matbeachat. So even in the smallest of coins, right, there's enough value in there to be hodab mixat. Because what is the requirement? Requirement of motive in mixat is that he has a kfira of shtei kesef. He has to have a denial of two kesef and a hoda'ah of a Pruta. So there you go. So this, even the smallest coin, even the Pruta, has sufficient amount of value in it that it can be classified as a hoda'a. And that's what it means, right? So that's what Rav says. Rav shakol din matbeachat, that when it says that, shakol din matbeachat, that all the matbeot, anyone, even the smallest matbeot, even the smallest coin, has enough value to be classified as a hoda'a. So now the Gemara asks about Rabbi Elazar. Here that Rabbi Elazar came to defend Shmuel's position in the Mishnah. Since he explained the latter half of the Mishnah like Shmuel, so maybe he also thinks the first part of the Mishnah is also like Shmuel, and that he will only require Hoda and Kfira of a Pruta, and a Tana of Shtei Kesef, not like Rav. Where it says, lo, Seifa Davka Ktani. No, in the Seifa he read it this way because of the extra line, the extra explanation that's given there, Shakol Min Mat Be'achat. That extra Lashon demands that there be a broader explanation or a better explanation of what the issue is here. Veresha, but in the Reisha, it's either K'Rav or K'Shmuel. It's not defined. There's no extra Lashon there. It could be read either like Rav or like Shmuel, like we've read before. Like Rav, which is that it's the failure in the Reisha of the Mishnah is because there's not a K'firav Shtei Kesef. According to Shmuel, because you don't have a Hoda'a Mimin HaTa'ana. Tashma. So let's bring a proof to the one side or the other with Shmuel and Rav, which is Dinar Zahav Zahuv Libi Adecha, or you owe me this golden coin. And he responds, no, you only have a silver coin with me. Chayav. There he is, Chayav. Taima, what's the reason he's Chayav? Damarle Zahav Zahuf. Because he specifically said that you have this coin. He's asking for currency, but he's asking for, right? He's asking for Zahav Zahuf. Meaning that he's asking, saying, this currency, you have this golden coin of currency, that's what you have. And therefore, when he responds with Dinar Kesef, that's a Min HaTa'ana, that's a Modem B'Miksat. Hastama, had he not said this, Shaveh Kamarle, had he not said that, then we would think, what? That it's Shaveh Kamarle, then we're talking about value. Had he not specified that he was talking about a coin, right, then we would otherwise think that he's talking about value. So here you have to specifically state, in order to be talking about the coin and not the value, you hear, see here from this Tosefta that you have to say, Dinar Zahav Zahuf, that you have to explicitly indicate that you're speaking about the coin and not the value. The implications from that are that otherwise, if you just mention a Dinar Kesef or a Dinar Zahav, that means that you're talking about Shaveh, you're talking about value. So that would be a proof for Rav. That means for Rav, whenever we talk about, like in our Mishnah, when it says Dinar Kesef, Dinar Zahav, we're talking about the value of the coins. We're not talking about the coins themselves. Why over here in the Tosefta, why is he Chayav? Why is it Hodami Min HaTa'ana? So Rashi L'shitato again says that because it's Min Matveya. Dinar Zahav Zahuv means this is a coined or minted gold coin. So he's asking for coins. He's asking Min Matveya Achat, and then the response is, no, you have a silver coin, something else that's minted. So again, that idea that the matbeot or achat, even though he's not claiming shovi, he's not asking for the value, but since he's asking for a minted item, and he responds with a minted item, it doesn't matter if it's gold or silver, that's enough, a modeh b'miksat. But when it comes to stam, we will say that's talking about the value, that, and that would be like Rav, and not like Shmuel. So I'm a Ravashi, hochi kamar. No, Ravashi answers up for Shmuel and says, no. Kol omer dinar zahav, ki omer dinar zahav dami. The Tosefta doesn't mean to say that he explicitly said over here, Dinar Zahav Zahuf. No, all he said was Dinar Zahav. But the definition, or when someone says Dinar Zahav, you know what they mean? They mean Dinar Zahav Zahuf. This is what it means. This is not, it's not that he actually says it, but this is the definition of what Dinar Zahav is. Dinar Zahav means a Dinar Zahav Zahuf. According to Rashi, that means, again, minted coin. And according to Tosafot, well, that means breaking the coin down into smaller component parts. Dummy. Okay. Tani Rabbi Chia, the Siyu of the Rav. Rabbi Chia brought a proof to Rav. Sela libi adecha. He says, I have a sela that I'm storing with you, or you owe me. En lecha biyadi ala sela chaser bet kesef. You have a sela minus shtei kesef. Chayav. Chaser ma'ah patur. But on the other hand, if he says it's only missing a ma'ah, right, a ma'ah, which is a sixth of a dinar, so over there, he'd be patur. So what do you see from here? This is exactly like Rav. Rav requires a kfira, a denial of shtei kesef. So he says, in the case where he says, I owe you he owe me a sela, and he says, I owe you a sela minus two kesef, that means he has an admission plus a denial of shtei kesef. On the other hand, when he just has a denial of a ma'ah, which is greater than a pruta, that doesn't work. According to Shmuel, it should have worked in that instance. It's greater than a pruta. That should have been enough of a hodah. It should have worked. So we have this breito from Michio that supports that position of Rav, that the denial, the kfirah, has to be shtei kesef. All right, now we move on to a new sugya. This is a new sugya of Eda Echad. And this, again, this really starts a shas sugya, really starts an issue that really is going to be delved into. I'll give you some of the highlights here. I'll send you some of the mikorot. But a sugya about how Eda Echad functions. What is it? How does it work? How does Eda Echad work? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu, this whole issue over here of Modim Miksat, Ela Betanat Melveh Vodat Loveh. When we're talking about a borrower and a lender, but when we're talking about that the lender is making a claim from a borrower, that's when we require this, either a denial of shtei kesef, or we require, right, a modu b'miktzat of hoda'av prutan, all this. Aval b'tanat malveh. On the other hand, when you have a malveh who makes a claim, v'hadat eid echad, and then coming to his side to uphold his position as an eid echad, a single eid, afilu lotanu ela pruta chayav. Even if he makes a claim for a pruta, chayav. My time, what's the reason here? Because it says, by the Edim. What can Edim do? Dichtev, lo yakum erachad be'ish l'chol avon or l'chol chatat. Edim can come to take care of avon and chatat. Lo yakum erachad, a single aid, can't do avon and can't do chatat. Right? They can't testify about whether it's monetary matters, whether it's isurim, right, or punishment. They can't testify. But l'chol avon l'chol chatat hu deinu kam, aval kam hu du shvua. On the other hand, he can establish a shvua. Vitanyo, we have an additional brayto that supports this position. Kol makom sheshnayim mechayvin oto mamon, anywhere where two edim could function to be mechayev him mamon, ed achad mechayvo shvua. then an Eid Echad can go ahead and be Mechayeva Shvua. So what one has to ask here, and the basic question, that the Gemara here has a tension that it's already highlighted. There's a tension here, is how does Eid Echad work? Is Eid Echad generates a Shvua, but he's also called an Eid Echad. So where does Eid Echad derive his power from? Is Eid Echad derive his power from the fact that he's just like Shtei Eidim? He works, he functions just like two Eidim. It's just he's not as powerful as two Eidim. So look, just like two Eidim can be Mechayev, so two Eid Echad can be Mechayev. Just like Shtei Eidim can be, or Shnei Eidim can be Mechayev in all sorts of instances, so two Eid Echad can be Mechayev in all sorts of circumstances, because he just functions just like the Shnei Eidim. Or the other hand, maybe you view Eid Echad as being Mechayev Shvua. Well, if Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvua, then maybe he should be under the dinim of Shvua, which means that an Eid Echad is not an aid, because in the end, he can't be Mechayev Mamon, he doesn't function as an aid. All he does is somehow bolster the situation, so we end up with a Shvua. He fills in for whatever's missing in the case. He fills that in order to create a Shvua over here. We'll see what that is that he's creating to create the Shvua over here. But if that's the case, then the Eid Echad would be subject to a dinim that applied to Shvua. So let's just think about items that apply to Shvua. We've learned to number them together beforehand. But we have a number of items that when it comes to Shvua, what are those items that are unique to Shvua where Shvua doesn't apply? So for instance, let's talk about Shvua doesn't apply to Karka. You don't take Shvua on a Karka. Edim can testify about Karka. Same thing is true by Kenas. When it comes to Kenas, right, Edim can testify about Kenas, but they cannot, Shvua is not taken a la Kenas. So here again, we have differences or possible nafkaminot. The other three which become much more significant are the last three. It happens to be that with those first two, almost everybody agrees with Yerushalmi that says that Eid Echad cannot be Mechayev in those instances. We have to discuss why. But these next three are where the Mechloket HaRishonim really comes up. And that is, first of all, when do you need a Tanat Shtei Kesef? Do you need Tanat Shtei Kesef and Hoda Bepruta? They say to me, Simon, what's the question? The Gemara just said that. That's exactly what Shmuel says. So we'll see a second in Tosafot. Tosafot says that that's unique to Shmuel Shita, but that's not L'divrei Akol. So we'll see that in a second. But Shtei Kesef, do you need Moda B'Miktzat? Do you need a Shtei Kesef and a Hoda B'Pruta for any Eid Echad to be Mechayev? One possibility. Number two, what about a Tanat Shema? What happens? By a Tanat, generally, when you make a claim that's not Bari, you don't make a definitive claim. Over there, there's no requirement of a Shavua when you don't make a definitive claim. You don't have to respond to a claim of maybe. What happens with an Eid Echad? If you have a maybe claim, what can an Eid Echad do to a maybe claim? Does he then require Shavua or not require Shavua? Right? The other last case is by Katan. One is not Nishba al Tanat Katan. But a Katan makes a claim, you do not respond with the Shavua on a Katan's claim. Again, when you have Eid Echad, what's the din? What's the din when it comes to a Eid Echad with a Katan? Does that require a Shavua? So I'll show you some of the Rishonim quickly, just so you get a feel for it, a taste of it. But here, Tosafot is clear. Tosafot, if you look in the Tosafot, Aval Tanat Milvev Hada Eid Echad, and that Tosafot, he says, Vim Tomar, B'sholukei Atov, Amrinan Deinish B'aymal Kfirat Shibut Karkaot, Afilu Badat Eid Echad. He says, we know that you can't take a Shvua on Karka, and that's even with Eid Echad. So this happens to be Muskam Nakol, that it seems that by Shvua, even by Eid Echad, there's no Shvua on Karka. The reason for that might be because it's Mufka from the Parsha. There's a Rashi on the Mishnah, on Lamed Zayin Amud Bet, that says about the, when it comes to this item of Shvuat ala Karka, he says, Ha'ishtar mamon sha'karkaot mushvadim lo va'kofer bo kofer ba'karkaot, v'kaimelon the command de'enish v'ayim ha'karkaot, period. Hilkach hishtaba nami ein ladin chiyub shvua. Even if you take a shvua, it doesn't work. It's just not, there's no shvua. Even when you take it, it doesn't work. So it might be that karkaot are mufka from the parsha of shvua, period. And therefore, there's no question. Even by erecha, there's nothing to talk about. So it also says, well, if that's the case by shibud karkaot, then how come over here we're waiving the need for shtei kesef and hodat pruta? V'yesh lomar, so here it also answers, d'shmol d'hocho l'tameh, this is shmol l'shitato. D'mechayev le'el b'kfirat pruta? This is Shmuel l'shitato that says before that you can be chayev b'modu miktzat if you deny just the pruta. The kevin de mishtaba a pruta. Since in b'modu miktzat you can be mishtaba, you can take a shvua on one pruta. Mukmekrad aval kam l'shvua de pruta. Therefore we allow an Eid Echad also to take a shvua on a pruta. So you see, Tosa says that this idea that an Eid Echad takes it on less than shtei kesef is Shmuel l'shitato. That means that Rav will not say this. Rav, who says you need a kfir of shtei kesef, will also require by Eid Echad shtei kesef, according to the Sefot. Aval b'karkaot, lo mishkacha de mishtaba b'shum makom. By karkaot, we never find that you ever take a shvua. There's no such thing as a shvua by karko. Ufize tzarech lamar delay tilcha tokavata de Shmuel b'hach. If that's the case, Allah is not like Shmuel over here. Why? Because we don't paskin like Shmuel by modem mixat, and we don't paskin like him by modem mixat. Then according to Tosfot, we don't paskin like him over here. So what do you see from Tosfot? Tosfot says that an eid achad is no different than a regular shvua. Eid achad equals shvua. Anywhere you can take a shvua modem mixat, that's where you can have an eid achad function. So karkaot doesn't work by pruta. That's only a shita Shmuel who says that you can have a shvua by a pruta. But that means like things like shema and katan, Tosfot will not allow you to take a shvua by eid achad, just like you can't take a shvua if it was just a claim of Shema or it was a Katan that making the claim against you. That you find more, and there's a Tosus in Baba Kama on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. There's also a Tosus in Ketubot to pay Zayin Amud Bet that seem to suggest also this idea that he can never, Eid Achad is never the way to get to Shvua any better than Shvua, you know, of Modem Miksat. Now, what does Tosus do? The problem is the Braisa in our Mishnah, the Braisa in our Gemara says, oh, wherever two Eidim can be Mechayev, a single Eid can be Mechayev. So what does he do with that Braisa? So look at the next Tosvot. So you know what he says? That's lav davka. That doesn't work in all places. So you see, Tosos leans heavily towards the fact that Eid Echad functions just like Shvua. It's no different than Shvua. He's not functioning like an Eid. He's functioning like Shvua. On the other hand, you have the Chidushei Ramban. The Chidushei Ramban here on the Daf, he brings down Machloket between Geonim and Rishonim. He quotes them. And then he himself says about this item over there, the Ramban suggests about this, that Eid Echad should be able to function anywhere, meaning that it should be independent of this issue of what happens by a what happens with a Shvua. So he says, Ukra umatita daike chacha, the Pasuk and the Braisa sound like this. Ukra dechtiv l'chol avon l'chol chatat, l'chol avon l'chol chatat lo yakum, avakam hu l'shvua, mashma, dumya, right, d'shnai b'mamon. Sounds like the Eid Echad functions like two would work by mamon. Umatnita and the Braisa that Tosfos says is lav davko. The Ramban says the Tanya Behedja. Kol makom sheshnayim mechayvin oto mamon, echad mechayvo shvua. V'harei shnayim mechayvin oto mamon afilu b'toein tanat shema. Two people can be mechayev when there's a tanat shema. Kumar gazal tani shlo b'fanai. Inami b'toein a katan, or when a katan asks manel avi biadcha, and a katan over there one h be'ado mechayev shvua over here also. So you see the Ramban going the exact opposite way. The Ramban takes the exact opposite approach of Tosfot and says, no, that it's dafka, the bright dawn about the fact that an eid echad functions like an eid. He's an eid. And if he's an eid, he can do it. He's just not, he's an eid, you know, a subset of shtei edim. And therefore, he works like the shtei edim, just that he can't be mechayev the same thing that they're mechayev. They can be mechayev mamon, he can be mechayev shua. But he's functioning like them. And therefore, shua does not govern over here. And if that's the case, then when we say here that there's no requirement of shtei kesef by the Eid Echad, that was not just Lishmuel, that's according to everybody. There's no requirement to take Kesef. There's no even by Shema, you'll have a Shvua by Eid Echad. Even by Katan, you'll have a Shvua of Eid Echad. Because he's an Eid, and he's not a Shvua. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to differentiate. The Rambam himself seems to differentiate between a case of Katan and a case of Shema. He says, by a case of Shema, Eid Echad is Michayev Shvua. By a case of Katan, Eid Echad does not help. So the question is why? So Rav Soloveitchik, the grid has a answer to that. And he says, I'll tell you why. And this might come down to the core of the machlokas here. He says, why is one chayav a shvua? Why is one chayav a shvua? So he claims that a shvua is generated by a ta'ana. There has to be a claim. And a shvua is always a response to a claim. So you have two bars. By a case of katan, a katan can't make a claim. So therefore you don't have a response of shvua. By shema, shema is not a claim. So therefore there's no response of shvua. Eid Echad can come along, and what does Eid Echad do? An Eid Echad can change a claim of Shema into a claim of Vadai. So here, where there's a claim of Shema, the Eid Echad upgrades it to a Tanat Vadai, and therefore you can respond to the Shvua. By a Katan, when there is no Tana, the Eid Echad can't create the Taina. All he can do is he can strengthen an existing Taina, so he can take a Shema to a Vadai. By a Katan, where there's no Taina at all, he can't create it. But you see here, what do you see from Soloveitchik in explaining the Rambam? He thinks that the Mechayev for Shvua over here is the Tana. And that's really the Machlokas here, it might be, in the Sugi over here, is what's the Mechayev of Shvua? Is the Mechayev of Shvua Tana, the claim of the Toveya, of the litigant over here, the claimant that comes, his claim is Mechayev the Shvua, and we just need fulfillment of certain items for either Modem Miksat or Eid Echad to come along to bolster that position in order to be Mechayev the Shvua. But that means that we need that Tana. And we need, maybe even general, according to Tosafot, we need the general principles of Shvua. Because all the Eid Echad is doing is bolstering Tana, the same way that Tana is Mechayiv Shvua in any other case. On the other hand, you can have the Ramban who suggests, no, that the Mechayiv may not be the Tana. The Mechayiv over here is the Eidut, the testimony. The Eid is making a testimony here, and his testimony is what generates the Shvua. Therefore, we don't care what happens by regular Shvuot. By regular Shvuot, those are all Tanot. That's right. That's a different Mechayiv than Eid. Eid's Mechayiv over here. Over there, the Mechayiv is Tana. He separates between the two items. Now again, even the Ramban agrees by Karko, Shibud Karko, and by Knas, that an Eid Echad can't do it over there. Because again, like Tosfos said over here, they may be Mufka totally from the Parshat of Shvuah. So even Eid Echad can't create a Shvuah, because even though he's able to create Shvuot and Mechayev Shvuot, that's only in a place where Shvuah applies. Like Rashi we saw before, says that Shvuah just doesn't apply to Karko. It doesn't apply to Knas. You just taking a Shvuah on them is meaningless. There is no such thing as a Shvuah over there. So here, just a little flavor of the Machloket Rishonim here about how Eid Echad functions and how he is Mechayev Shvuah over here. Is he functioning as an aid like Shtei Edim, or is he functioning like a Toein, like the Toveya in the case over here? And that'll have Nafka Minot about where or what demands we make on Eid Echad in order to have a Shvuah over here. Should just know that in general, we'll get to the sugya later on, that by Shvuat HaShomrim, we have the same problem. Shvuat HaShomrim, by Shema, that's a claim of Shema, Shvuat HaShomrim, we demand a Shvuah. There's a machlokas, a big machlokas between the Geonim, the Rishonim, about whether Shtei Kesef applies there. Do you need Shtei Kesef by Shvuat HaShomrim? And again, there we'll discuss that sugya, but you know that it's parallel to what we say here by Eid Echad. That same question arises by Shvuat HaShomrim. All right, now, the Gemara continues. Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel. We have another statement from Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel. Tano chitin visa urim. Makes a claim for both barley and wheat. Behodo lo be'achad me'em. And he admits to one of them, chayav. Here is chayav over here. Remember we claimed before, if you remember on yesterday's daf, we said this is Shmuel l'shitato. Shmuel l'shitato says when Tano, you know, chitin visa urim, and he's modeh be'achad me'em, he is chayav. There we claim that that is mimin ha'tana. So Amar Lord Yitzchak, yasher. Right, good job. That's exactly Rabbi Yochanan holds like you. Michlal, the Poligalei Reish Lakish. From this, it sounds like if you think that Rabbi Yochanan holds it, who's Rabbi Yochanan's Chavrusa is Baal Plukta, that's Reish Lakish. So you say halacha that Rabbi Yochanan supports you, that sounds like Reish Lakish does not support you. So Gemara says, Ika Damre Mish'ah Have Shoilei Vishatikle, that the Reish Lakish used to wait until in the base medrash, he would wait until Rabbi Yochanan finished everything he had to say before responding with his own position. And in the interim, Rabbi Yitzchak had to leave. So he left the base medrash. So he never knew if Reish Lakish responded or didn't respond. So he said what he knew. He knew that this was the position of Rabbi Yochanan. He just didn't know what the position of Reish Lakish was, so he didn't say the position of Reish Lakish. But that means that he argues or disagrees. We just don't know. Or, Ikadamre, Mishta Vishotile, Vishotikle. We don't know that Reish Lakish did not respond to Rabbi Yochanan at instance because he was drinking. So we don't know if he didn't respond because he was in the middle of drinking, and that's why he didn't respond over here, or he didn't respond because he disagreed, meaning that he would have responded. He was drinking, and he would have responded, or he had nothing to say, and that's why he didn't respond. So we don't know whether he argues or not on the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So lema mesayile. Let's say we have a proof to this position of Rabbi Nachman Amar Shmuel from our Mishnah. Tano chitim vehodo lo b'seorim. Our Mishnah says in a case where he's to'ein chitim and he admits to serim patur. Rabbi Gamliel mechayev, and Rabbi Yochanan says you chayav. Again, why Rabbi Gamliel is chayev? You could say for one of two possibilities. One is that he doesn't think you need modeh mimiksata tana, ta'a doesn't have to be mimiksata tana, or he holds that this is mimiksata tana because it's all tefuah. Taimo de tano chitim, vodo lo b'seorim. The problem over here is that he made a claim for wheat and the response was in barley. Ha chitin v'seorim, had the claim been both of them, vodo lo b'echad mehem chayav. Otherwise, that should have been the Chiddush in the Mishnah. They should have told us that case. The fact that it went to the more extreme case shows you that in this case, they do agree to Shmuel's position. The Gemara says, lo. You have two parties in there. That's true of the Rabbanan. You're right. According to the Rabbanan, if it was a bigger Chiddush, it's a bigger Chiddush to say, oh, right, so rim v'chitin. But we also have Rabbi Gamliel's Mechayev, and Rabbi Gamliel's Mechayev, even a case of chitin v'sorim. That's even a bigger Chiddush. So who adin da'afilu chitin v'sorim nami patur according to the Rabbanan? V'hai demilka miflake b'chitin? Why do they bring chitin and not chitin v'sorim? Lo di'acha kocho de Rabbi Gamliel. To show you how powerful the position of Rabbi Gamliel is, because Rabbi Gamliel over here says his kocho adif because he's mechayev shvua. He's mechayev shvua even in this case that you would think there should be no shvua. He is mechayev shvua. That's a bigger chiddush. So therefore we took the case that brought out the bigger chiddush in Rabbi Gamliel instead of the case that would have given us the chiddush in the Rabbanan. Tashma. So let's try another from our Mishnah, another proof too. This position of Rab Nachman Amar Shmuel. Tano kelim v'karkaot. If he makes a claim for kelim and karkaot, real property and movable non-real property. Hodeh b'kelim, if he admits to the kelim, V'kafar b'karot, and he denies about the real property. B'karkot, he admits to the real property. V'kafar b'kelim, or he denies the kelim, patur. In that case, he is patur. Hodeh b'miksat karkot, if he admits to a portion of the karka, patur, because there is no shvua ala karkot, so there's no miksat b'karkot, patur. B'miksat kelim, on the other hand, if he does a portion of the kelim, chayav. Over there, he is chayav. Taimo. Why is the reason over here the kelim v'karkot? Because what are the two items over here? Kelim and karkot. So the reason you are patur when you admit to the kelim is because the only thing that's left over is the karka. Or the other way around. If you admit to the karka, the only thing that's left over is the kelim. Although over there, there's no shwa by karkot. So karka la bat shwahi. Ah, if the case was kelim v'kelim, how'd you use it? The reason that you're patur here is because of the influence of karka on this whole situation. But had it been a case of kelim v'kelim, dumya the kelim v'karkot, identical to this case of kelim karkot, chayav. Then you'd be chayav, and that would support the position of Nachman Amar Shmuel, because now you have two items that you're making claim for, and he admits to one of them and denies the other. That's called modim miksat, according to Shmuel, and that's what the Mishnah seems to indicate. Gemara says, no, hu adin, da'afilu kelim v'kelim nami patur. Even my kelim v'kelim nami patur. Ah, so then why'd you write kelim v'karkot? Why are you writing kelim v'karkot? The bigger chiddush would tell us even by kelim v'kelim that you're patur. Kamash malon, that comes to teach us, dehi hoda v'miksat kelim chayav. That when you admit to a portion of the kelim yechayev, af ala karkaot, even on the karkaot, you're going to take a shvua. Even though normally you don't take a shvua on karkaot, here you will, all your day, gilgul, my kamash malon, what does that teach us? Zokikin, that when you take a shvua on non-real property, you're allowed to then draw that shvua onto the real property. The Gemara says, tanina. Wait, that's an explicit mishnah in Kiddushin. What do I need this chiddush in our mishnah over here in Shavuot? I have an explicit mishnah in Kiddushin that tells me that zokekim et nechasim sheyesh lehen achrayut. You can be mezakek. You can force a shvua on items that have recourse, which means property, real property. Lishavaleim to give the shvua here if you have non-real property that you have to take a shvua on it. So we know that from the mishnah. It says ha'ikar. Wait a minute. Our mishnah over here is the main spot for this. What? This is Masechet Shavuot. So the main or the real source is our mishnah over here in Shavuot. Over there, Hayi Agav Groronaspa. Over there, it's just brought down because the mishnah is dealing with differences between real property and non-real property. How do you acquire real property? What are the kinyanim for real property? What are the kinyanim for movable, for metaltalim? Then can you be koneh through real property? You can also be koneh non-real property or movable items. So over there, they also added in. Oh, Shavuot also works that way. But that was just added in as part of a list of items. That's not the main. The main sugya is here in Shavuot, and that was in our Mishnah. That's where we learned it from in our Mishnah. So that's the principle of Rav Nachman and Shmuel, that when you have a claim of chitin and sorin, an admission of one of those two items, that is classified as modiv miksat. We tried to bring two proofs, right, or three, or two proofs from our Mishnah to support his position, and we denied both of those proofs from the Mishnah because we could read them the other way, or we can say that that's not necessarily the explanation. Now we have the opposing opinion. So here's the opposing position. This is Rabbi Chiya bar Ava in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Tano chitim u'se'orim. Right? Then, v'odol b'achad mehem patur. Wait a minute. Wait. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Didn't Rabbi Yitzchak just say before on the position of Rabbi Nachman Shmuel, yeah, asher? V'chein am Rabbi Yochanan. He said, yesher kocha, you did a great job. That's Rabbi Yochanan's position. So how can you claim over here that Rabbi Yochanan's position is just the opposite of Rabbi Nachman and Shmuel? It says, amarayin hu alibid Rabbi Yochanan. That is it. It's a maklokes amarayim. Right, that you have over here. You have over here Rabbi Chiya bar Abba quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Over there you have Rabbi Yitzchak quoting Rabbi Yochanan. That's the machlokas. Is it Rabbi Yochanan believe like Shmuel, Amar of Nachman Shmuel, that you have Modeh b'miksat that is classified as Modeh b'miksat in your Chayav? Or is it like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, which is that Modeh b'miksat in this instance is Patur? So now the Gemara is going to bring the same things from our Mishnah to try to prove or disprove the position of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So where it says Tashma, Tanochitim v'odol b'sorim Patur. So that's the same case we just brought before. Time of the Tano Chitim Vodolo Bisorim. That's why he's Patur. Ha Chitim Visorim Vodolo Bechad Mehem Chayav. Just like we wanted to before bring a proof to support Shmuel over here. This is a disproof to the position of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Gemara says, again, answers the same way that it answered over there. Hu Adin. Right, we had the same din. Da'afilu Chitim Visorim Nami Patur. Behaidik Tani Ochilo Diacha Kocho de Rabbi Gamliel. So why did it write only Chitin? Not chitin v'sorim, even though there would have been a bigger chiddush to tell us chitin v'sorim, over here we did that because of the chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel. Over here you have the chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel, and that chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel is worthwhile, or more worthwhile, to teach you that you're chayav shvua according to Rabbi Gamliel, even in this instance. Okay, next, tashma. Tano kelim v'karkaot, vodo b'kelim v'kafar b'karkaot, v'karkaot v'kafar b'kelim, patur. Again, this is the quote from the Mishnah. Hodeh b'miksat karka patur, b'miksat kelim chayav. So the same way that we tried to bring this as a proof to Rav Nachman and Shmuel's position, here we're bringing it as a disproof to the position of Chir Ba'av Amar B'Yochanan. Time of the Kelim V'Kakot, the Karkalav Bachwahi. That's the problem all these cases. Ha, Kelim V'Kelim, Dumya the Kelim V'Kakot. Had you had a case of Kelim V'Kelim that's similar to Kelim V'Kakot, then you'd be Chayav. Because otherwise, why didn't you write that case? Right, you should have written that case. That would have been a bigger Chiddush. The Gemara says, no, who didn't? Afilu Kelim V'Kelim, Nami Patur. The same way they responded above, by kelim kelim, you also be patur. But ha kamash malon, what does this come to teach us? The hoda b'miksat kelim chayav, af ala karkot. That someone who is modeh b'miksat kelim can take a shwa or is forced to shwa on the karkot. My kamash malon, was that teach us zokikin, that you can draw in karka to have a shwa taken on it, just like you when you take a shwa in mitaltalin, you can draw in the karkot to have a shwa taken on them as well. It says Tanina, what's the chiddush? That's a mishnah in kedushin. So kikimet nechasim sheish lein achariyut lishavalehem, that the non-real property, the movable items, the mitaltalim that require shwa can draw in the real property to take a shwa with them. That's explicit in the mishnah there. It says ha'ikar, our mishnah over here in shwa's the ikar. Ha'yagav gruron nas, but there it's just part of a series of items of comparisons or contrasts between a karka, real property, and mitaltalin, non-real property, movable items. So now, Eitve, Rabbi Abba, Bar Mamel, Rabbi Chir Ba'abo. I have a question. What's that? Tano shor, v'odolo b'seh. He makes a claim for a shor, and he admits that it's a seh. So he asks for an ox, and he admits to a, right, a seh, either a seh izim or seh kvasim, which is either a sheep or a goat. Seh, v'odolo b'shor. On the other hand, if he asks for a seh, again, a goat, sheep, and then he admits to a shor, patur. There he's patur. Tano b'shor v'seh. If he asks for both the shor v'seh, and v'odolo b'echad me'em chayav. This sounds exactly like Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Here we have two items. A admits to one of the two items. That's modeh b'miksat. Says Amar Lei, Hamani, who's the author of this position? Rabbi Gamliel he. The author of this position is Rabbi Gamliel. That's that you're bringing me a braita. That braita is authored by Rabbi Gamliel. Or it says, wait a minute, that can't be authored by Rabbi Gamliel. Iro Gamliel, I feel a ration on me. Rabbi Gamliel be mechayev in the first case, where you said sure and seh. Over there, where you said sure, and then he answered seh, or seh, and he answered sure. Rabbi Gamliel be mechayev, just like by chitin and sorin, he's mechayev, you'd be mechayev over there. Again, either because he doesn't think you need meh, mixat, haldam, mixat, atana, or because they're in one category. They're called the category of behemot. Elahamani admonhi. The author of this position is Admon, who's mentioned in our Mishnah. Gamliel says, Roe ani et divrei Admon. I like the position of Admon. Now, over here in our Mishnah, over here, we don't know what Admon's position is. It's in the Gemara in Ketubot, the Mishnayot in Ketubot, about what that position of Admon is. And over there, Admon requires Hodam iminatana. He does require that you have Hodam iminatana, not like Rabbi Gamliel. Again, what that means is, does that mean that he requires a miminatana, like a real miminatana, as opposed to Rabbi Gamliel requires not at all, or that Rabbi Gamliel has a broader definition of what the Tana and Hoda is versus his more right detailed explanation. Velo dechuya midechinan lecha. I'm not just pushing away and saying that this brice is authored by Admon. Elo talmud aruchu b'fiv shel Rabbi Yochanan. I heard this explicitly from Yochanan. Hamani Admonhi. That the author of this brice is Admon, and the author of Admon, Admon holds. Rabbi Nachman Amashmol, you're right. Admon has the same position as Rabbi Nachman Amashmol, which is that when you have two items, shor v'seh, and you admit to one of them, that is called mel d'miksat. That's Admon. But you know what? The Chachamim argue on him, and I hold like the Chachamim. So you're bringing me a brice of dat yochid of Admon. I hold like the Chachamim who say Potur in this case. Right now, Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmo, Tano Chitim, V'kadam Odoloi B'Seurim. So he went and he says, listen, you have a bunch of my wheat with you. He jumps in, the defendant jumps in and says, you know, no, yeah, I don't have any wheat, I have your barley. So now why did he do this? There are two possibilities why he did this. What does he think is going to happen next? He denies that he has any Chitim. What does he think the guy's going to do next? Does he think he's going to make a claim next for the Seorim? He's going to say, listen, says Chitim, he says, you don't have any Chitim. Then he's going to say to him, where are my Seorim? So if he does that, and he lets the claimant finish his claim, then what happens over there? If he lets the claimant finish his claim, then you have a case of Modeh b'miksat, he's going to be chayav shvua. So what does he do? He jumps in order to prevent that from happening. He jumps in before the claimant has a chance to say Seorim, he jumps in and says, I have your Seorim. So now he changes it from a case of Modeh b'miksat to be Kofer Bakol by the Chitin, and a right Hoda Bakol by the case of the Seorim. Or we could just say that he just wanted to straighten the case out. He did it b'tmimut libo, that he was just trying to, you know, say what was happening here. He says, I'm sorry, I don't owe you Chitin, but I do owe you Seorim. He's just trying to tell the truth. So those are the two possibilities over here, and that's what the Gemara says over here. Im kim arim, if he's trying to cheat and get out of having a mode case of mode of mixat, chayav. Then we make him take the shvah modu miksat, because we know the only reason he did this is to get out modu miksat. The judges have to make a judgment call, right? Over here, no pun intended, but they make a judgment call whether he's trying to get out of a modu miksat, and you have to take modu miksat. Im b'mitkavein, right? If over here, again, he simply just wanted to do the truth and be right over here and just do the right thing. Over there, patur. Okay, now, Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel. We mentioned this yesterday because of the problem that we ran into the girsa of the Gemara yesterday, and that is Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel, Tano Shtei Machtin. Person makes a claim for two needles, right? Two small needles. Behodelo ba'achat mehem, and he admits to one of them. Chayav. That is a case of Modeh b'miksat. Lefichach yatzu kelim l'mashehein. Because therefore, a kelim come to teach you that any keli, anything that is functional by a kli, already has a din that you can have a modu b'miksat. That's the chiddush over here. The chiddush over here is that you have modu b'miksat even by machtin. So if you look in Rashi, the mashain, this is Rashi l'shitato. If you look in the mashain by Rashi, it says by Shmot Chav Bet, and the Rashi over there, it says l'tchayev aleim b'choshein, t'hav alei l'michtav. The pasuk could have written ki yitain ish areu ksafim lishmor. Could have just said kesef. But Ana Amina, I would have known from Kesafim, Maksafim Shnaim, Kesef's in the plural, that means two, V'davar Chashuv, and Kesef is Davar Chashuv, Avko Shnaim V'davar Chashuv. I could have learned that all out of the word Kesef. Elotov Kelim Lomar, so why did it write Kelim then? Kelim is totally unnecessary. So what does Kelim come to teach you? That's the answer. Elotov Kelim Lomar, Davi Davar Chashuv, Lo Be'inan Shev Yehen Shtei Kesef. The Kelim is an exception to the rule. An exception to the rule that it's always Davar Chashuv, because it's functional. Therefore, it's always Davar Chashuv. It doesn't have a minimum of Shtei Kesef. It doesn't have the requirement of Davar Chashuv, because it's automatically Davar Chashuv. That's what Rashi did. If you remember yesterday, Rashi in the Girsa of the Gemara says, Ma Kesef, right, over there, when the Gemara was doing the back and forth, Rashi's Girsa said, Ma Kelim Shnaim, Av Kesef Shnaim, Ma Kesef Davar Chashuv, Av Kol Davar Chashuv, but not Kelim. Because that you don't learn out from Kesef. That's exactly what Rashi says. You don't learn out. Kelim have an independent sugya. On the other hand, Tosafot answered yesterday. If you remember, Tosafot says, no, that maybe we learn out Davar Chashuv from Keli. That's what we learn it out from, and therefore he has a different girsa in the Gemara, and his girsa in the Gemara, we're not learning out Chashivut from Kesef, but rather learning Chashivut out from Kelim. And Kelim are what teach you about Chashivut. And if Chashivut is learned from Kelim, then we had a two-way street, because Kesef teaches you Shtayim, and then Kelim teach you Chashivut, but not only the Chashivut. Kesef has a Chashivut, which means it has to be a minimum of two prutot. Has to be some sort of currency. But along comes the Shtei Kelim to teach you not only does it have to be two prutot, it has to be Shtei Dinari Kesef. It elevates at another level of Chashivut, and that's what Kelim does. So Tosafot says, no, the Kelim do teach you Chashivut. And the reason that Machtim over here are exempted, or why Kelim are exempted, is because they have automatic Chashivut. They have inherent Chashivut, and therefore they don't need the requirement of Chashivut doesn't come from Kesef to be imposed upon them on Kelim. They are Chashuv, and therefore they teach other things about Chashivut as well. And therefore in his Girsa, he could have Kelim being or learning out that Chashivut and also teaching. His Girsa has them teaching about Chashivut. Right now, Amara Papa, Tano Kelim upruta. He asks for Kelim and a pruta. Vahode be Kelim a kafar bepruta patur. So over there, since he admits to the Kelim, and he denies the pruta patur. Hoda odeh b'pruta, right there he admits to the pruta, b'kafar b'kelim chayav. There is chayav. So now Gemara says, you're mixing and matching shitot over here. Why are you mixing and matching shitot? Well, you see over here that you need a kfira, at least of shtei kesef. Whose position is a kfira of shtei kesef? That's the position of Rav. Then you also said that if you make a claim of two different items, pruta and kelim, over there if you're modeh in one of them, that's considered modeh miksat. Whose position is that? That's the position of Shmuel. So you're mixing and matching the positions of Shmuel and Rav. And that's what the Gemara says here. Chadak Rav, Chadak Shmuel. Chadak Rav, Damar Kfirat Tana Shtei Kesef. That it's only considered a Kfira when you have at least a minimum of Shtei Kesef. Chadak Shmuel. One of them is like Shmuel, Damar Tano Chitim Viseurim, Vahodalo Bechad Mehem Chayav. So that piece is like Shmuel. So that's also. So then we paskin. Again, the answer is that yes, Enochanami. That we paskin like. We pass like Rav in the Mishnah, that Shtei Kesef, and we pass, as Tosa says, and then we pass like Shmuel, that it's considered or classified as Modeh Miksat over here by the case of when you claim two items and you admit to one of them, that's also considered or classified as Modeh B'Miksat. So therefore, that's the Halacha. All right, now, the Gemara says, Mani b'liya b'yadecha in l'cha b'yadi patur. Over here, we come to an introduction, a very difficult sugya. An introduction, again, it continues into Mar's Daf, which also has more things that are Shas sugyos. But we'll deal with one of them at first, which is something called Shvat HaSeit. Our Mishnah discusses the Shvua Min HaTorah. The Shvua Min HaTorah is Modeh B'Miksat, where he makes some sort of partial admission, right, to the claim, and then he's chayev modu miksat. In our mission, it says that if he's kofer bakol, if he denies the whole thing, he is patur in a complete denial. That's what the Gemara quotes here. Mane le biyadecha, you have 100 zuz. In the chabiyadi, he says that you have nothing on me, patur. There's no shvua because the Torah requires modu miksat. There's no patur. So mina Torah patur. Along comes Amar Rav Nachman umashbino to shvatei seit. Despite that, the fact that there is no shvua of modem miksat, we still have a requirement of shvuat heset. Now, this shvuat heset, again, there's a question. What is this shvuat? How is this shvuat heset functioning? Let's just read through the Gemara, and then I'll come back here. Another massive machloket geonim and the rishonim about how shvuat heset works over here. So, Amar Rav Nachman, mashbino to shvuat heset. My time. Chazok koin adam tovel im ken yesh lo alav. A person doesn't come to court and make a willy-nilly claim. The only reason he came to court is because he has something to claim. You don't come to court for no reason and say, ah, here, you owe me money. It's not, there's wasting his time. He only comes if he has a real claim. Adarabo, we have a offsetting factor. What's the offsetting factor? Chazaka ein adam me'iz panah b'fnei b'chovo. Person is not willing to be me'iz panah b'chovo. According to Rashi, right, this is Machlokas Rashi and Tosafot by Modiv Miksat. We say by Modiv Miksat, you're chayav. Why? Because a person is not, he wants the ishtemute ishtemate, he's trying to get out of paying, but he's afraid to deny the whole thing. Why? So Rashi says that's because over here, he's eno me'iz panav. Someone who does a tovah for you, you're not willing to be me'iz panav in front of him. So therefore, if you are me'iz is the patur. So over here, where he would be me'iz, and he is me'iz, then he should be patur from the shvua. That's where Rashi learns. Tosos, on the other hand, says no, that it's a mixas atano. That it's not the me'iz that does it over here. It's the mix of the tana that's mechayev, and therefore even by pikadon you'll be chayav. The fact that he's me'iz panav, why should it be a p'tur? Now Tosus runs into a problem. We'll see Tosus in a second what Tosus does with this. The Gemara says no. He wouldn't. You're right. He wouldn't really deny it. But over here he wants to get out of paying. Until I have enough money, then I'll pay him. Teida, I can prove this to you. The Amar Rabbi Idi bar Avinam Rabbi Chista Kofer b'milve kasher le'edut. Someone who denies that he owes money for a loan, that just because he's chashud on the mamon, he can go on. He's not puzzled as an aid. Why? Because we say yishtemut kamishtamit le. He really intends to pay it back. He's not really a liar. He doesn't really want to steal. It's just because the money is in his hands, and now he denies it because he doesn't have the money to pay back right now. Bipikadon, on the other hand, when it comes to pikadon, pasul le'edut. Why? Because over there he has no right to keep it. There's no payment back by pikadon. By pikadon, he should be chayav. So now, that's the sugya over here. Now, let's look quickly. Over here, we're going to look in Tosafot. Tosafot says, if you look, under Rabbein Adam Me'iz, panav. Says, wait a minute. Well, if a person, when we say by kofer bakol is ishtemute mishtamet, and by modem miksat is ishtemute mishtamet, then what's the difference between kofer bakol and modem miksat? That means that a person would take either one of the two shvuot. He'd be willing to take a shvua of kofer bakol, and he'd be willing to take a shvua, or he'd be willing to say kofer bakol, he'd be willing to be modem miksat. Because in both those instances, he's just trying to get out of paying. Well, if that's the case, then a person should be patur by modem miksat, because he has a migo. He could have said he had a better claim, because if he had been kofer bakol, he would have been patur. So now he comes along and says modem miksat, he should certainly be patur. So why do we say that doesn't work? It doesn't work generally because we say, en adam me'iz panav b'fnei bal chovo, that takes away the migo. But over here the Gemara says, ishtemute mishtamet leh. He would be me'iz panav and ishtemute mishtamet leh. So Tosa says there are unequal claims. He says, v'ah shalomar dafagav de kofar kol nami mishtamet, that a person would lie even in kofar kol. Nevertheless, mikom akom en lo kol kach panim lechvar kol kmo lechvar b'miktzat. A person would be much more willing to be modeh b'miktzat than he would be to be kofar bakol. So you don't have a migo. A migo only works when you have equal claims. Claims are on the same plane. Where he could have said kofer bakol, and instead he does modem miksat. Over here, it's more noach. It's much nicer for him to do a modem miksat than kofer bakol. Even though they, for the same reason he's doing them, nevertheless, since it's nicer, easier for him, therefore, by modem miksat, we say he's chayav, the migo goes away, because even though he's shtemute mishtamait, nevertheless, by modem miksat, the reason the migo is gone, because he's admitting to something over here, and that admission is mechayev him over here. And the shtemute mishtamait is just telling you that there's no migo. There's no migo over here. Right, that's one. The Gemara just continues quickly, and then we'll ask the question. Now, Rav Chaviva Matnia Seifa, he says that goes on the latter half of the Mishnah, which is, Mana libi adecha, he says, Yoyum 100, Amar lo, Hain, he says, yes. L'machar Amar lo, Tneoli, tomorrow he says, give it to me. He says, I gave it to you already, Patur. And then, Amar Rav Nachman, Shmino to Shvat Hesait, that you take a Shvat Hesait there where he would have been Patur, you take a Shvat Hesait. Manda Matnia Reisha, the one who says on the Reisha, Koshkena Seifa, certainly he would say on the Seifa. But manda matni la seifa, the one that says on the seifa, hochohu diike drora de mamona. Because over here there's a drora de mamona. Dvarer mamon machlokas Rashi and Tosvot. Rashi says that there is a ibud mamon. There's a loss of money. Chisaron kis. Since there'll be a loss of money over here, there's an admission that there was a transaction. He's saying that he paid it back already. So in that instance, there's already a obligation on the table. There's chisaron mamon. So that's what's dvarer mamon. Tosfos says dvarer mamon is the safek exists even without the claims of the individuals over here too. In the other case where he denies that they ever borrowed any money, there's no safek here without the claims. On the other hand, when they both agree that there was a loan, it's a question if he paid back or didn't pay back, the safek exists even without their claims. So that's why it's Drudr Mamona over here. So Drudr Mamona, that's where you say Shvat Hasait. Avahotam, the Lekker Drudr Mamona, low. But when it's a case of Drudr Mamona, no Drudr Mamona in the Beresha, where he denies the whole case, there's no Shvat Hasait. So the question that the Gonim and everybody deal with is where does Shvat Hasait apply? For instance, can you take Shvat Hasait on Karka? Is Shvuat Hasait bounded by the same requirements or the same the Miksat has? The same question we asked by Eid Echad, you asked by Shvuat Hasait. Do you have the minimum Mishtei Kesef? Can you take it on Karka or not? You know what the Gaonim? The Gaonim all say that you can take a Shvuat Hasait on Karka. You know why? Because some of the Rif and others say in the Tshuva, that's because Shvuat Hasait, you can sometimes take Shvuat on Karkot. When you're Zokakin, you end up on Karkot. Something that you never, like Hekdesh, where you never take a Hekdesh, a Shuan Hekdesh, there you can't take Shuat Hesait on Hekdesh. But by things that sometimes are included under the rubric of Shua, you can take it. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim that say no, that Shuat Hesait is Kein Doraita, the Rabbanim Kein Doraita Tikein, right, that they made it. That there is some sort of, that's the question here, really, or the underlying question, if they say Kein Doraita Tikein, if it's Kein Doraita Tikein, then it should be just like the Dinim of Modavim Miksat. Is there mother? You have to acquire shtei kesef. Maybe you have to have shvua la karka will not apply by shvua teseit. And it seems to be that their underlying question here is what does Rav Nachman say? The machlokas might be about what Rav Nachman is saying. Is Rav Nachman saying that shvua teseit is a response to kofer bakol, or is shvua teseit a response to any time you are patur? So if you say it's simply a response to kofer bakol, that means that it's in place of modeh b'miksat. So that it should only function like Modu Miksat does, and it'll be restricted just like Modu Miksat. And it'll almost be like there's a, could even say that's Mina Torah, Smachta, that it comes from the Torah, or it's Kein Doraisa Tikein. On the other hand, if Rav Nachman's response is that any time that a person is Patur, we say take a Shvat Hasait. We don't want people getting away without taking a Shvat Hasait. We want them to have to put something on the line before they walk out of Beis Din. In that case, you want to say that it's not a derivative of Modu Miksat, because it's not Kum Kofer Bakol. It's anytime you're Patur, you take Shvat Hasait. If that's the case, then it has a much broader mandate. If it's a broader mandate, maybe it shouldn't be limited by Karko, maybe it shouldn't be limited by Shtei HaKesef, because it's a Shvua that's totally independent of Modeh B'Miksat. It has nothing to do with Modeh B'Miksat. Right? Because of that, you have a machlokas, a major machlokas in the Mishonim, Gonim, about the application and the use of where Shvua HaTesed applies and where you could take it and where you can't take it. All right, just wanted to give you a feel for some of this. All right, have a wonderful Shabbos.